Before we read God's word, let's all bow in a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we do ask Thee that our faith might look up to Jesus this morning now as we approach Thee, Lord. We pray that we might not have wandering and drifting thoughts. You know, Lord, how it's hard even to listen for an extended period of time. We pray for grace. We pray for help to endure, Lord, and to listen not just with our ears, but to listen with our hearts. So, Father, help us today. Give us that sense of Thy presence and help us, Lord, to go on with Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 10, verse 17. And when He, that is Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to Him and asked Him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Amen. And we know the Lord will add His blessing to His word for His name's sake. Story of the rich young ruler is found in the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And the fullest version of the story is found here in Mark. And in order to understand the real meaning and message of Christ to the rich young ruler, we must understand what Christ had just taught His disciples in the previous verses. Let's back up to verse 13. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. We read later in Matthew chapter 19, verses 14, But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Why does Christ liken entering into the kingdom of God to a little child? What is the significance of children when it comes to the kingdom of heaven? Well, I think that the point that Christ is making is because a child is powerless, helpless, and with nothing, completely dependent upon the one that he's coming to. And that's the point, that's the truth that Christ is trying to emphasize to his disciples. And that's how we, as followers of Jesus Christ, must come before the Lord. We must come like children, helpless, needy, dependent upon the Lord. And it is from this backdrop that Christ talks now to the rich young ruler about how one inherits eternal life. Note that this young man was a ruler. He came possibly from aristocracy, a wealthy family. He came running and kneeling, approaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Undoubtedly, the young man had heard of Christ, and now he has the opportunity to meet Christ for himself. He expresses both enthusiasm and also concern when he talks to the Lord. And he asks the right question. He asks perhaps the most important question a man could ever ask the Lord. Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The same kind of question is asked in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? The Philippian jailer asked the same question to Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever asked that question in your life? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And although the rich young ruler begins by showing real initiative and promise, we soon discover where his heart really is. We read in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying of Christ and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And the thing that struck me when I read this portion of Scripture, and I've read this portion many times, and I know the story of the rich young ruler, and I'm sure you do too, and you've heard probably messages about the rich young ruler, but something that struck me afresh about this whole story was the response of the young man when it came to what Christ had said to him and how he walked away from Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, walking away from Christ. What did it mean for this young man to walk away from the words and teaching in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And there are several observations I'd like to look at which should have us examine our hearts before the Lord and see if we're doing this very thing. Are we walking away from the Lord? Are we not following the Lord as we ought? The first thing that this man did by way of walking away from Christ is he walked away from God. He walked away from God. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now some may say that sounds like Christ was denying his deity. He was almost suggesting that there is only one that was God and he wasn't the one. And I believe that is completely contrary to what the meaning of this passage refers to. As a matter of fact, this isn't Christ denying his deity, he is asserting it. He's asserting his deity by this statement, and I'll explain what I mean in just a moment. What he's saying to this young man is that there's only one who is good, and that is God. And he wants to make sure that this young man has his focus and his mind set on the fact that there's only one good, and that is the Lord. And when the Lord tells him this, he's basically saying that he is God. And I'll explain to you how he does this in just a moment. And to be good in the truest sense is to possess the positive and holy character of God. It's to do what God commands. It's to do what God says. It's to do what God demands from his law. And when Christ is saying that there is only one good and that is God, he's basically opening up the thought to this young man. Examine your life in view of the law of God. That's where you need to start when it comes to examining whether you're good or not. So that's what Christ does. Christ takes this man to the law of God. And he points out to this young man some of the commandments that are contained in the law of God. He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he says to the young man that these things you are to keep. And the young man says, well, master, all these have I observed from my youth. And we know from this response from the young man that this man certainly did not understand the law and spirit of the law of God. But what Christ is saying here to him is, if you look at the life of Christ and you examine the type of life that Christ lived according to the law of God. And if you looked at Christ's life, if you examine Christ's life, you have to come to the conclusion that this man is God, because he kept the law of God. He did it perfectly. He did it without any deviation. He would be the only one that could say very honestly, which this young man says, I have kept the law from my youth. Only Christ could say that. Only Christ could say, whoever lived on this earth as a human being, that I have kept the law of God from my youth. I have kept the law of God after my youth. And I've continued to keep the law of God. I never deviated. I never went contrary to the law of God. Only Jesus Christ could say that. And this young man needed to understand that he so miserably fell short of keeping the law of God. And that's why Christ, as he begins to disciple, as he begins to teach this young man, shows him the law of God. And then he says to the young man, come follow me. Now, if Jesus Christ is saying to this young man, come follow me, he is suggesting that he is the one who does truly keep the law of God. And therefore, you can have confidence in following me because I'm truly God. I'm the one who truly fulfills and obeys the law of the Lord. See, Christ was a preacher of righteousness. Christ was one who kept the law perfectly. He was a healer of the sick. He raised people from the dead. When you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you realize this is the Son of God, the very God incarnate. And this is what the man needed to observe. This is what the man needed to learn. And the only way this man could learn that Jesus Christ was truly God was to follow him and to examine his life and to see that what Christ was saying matches up with his life. And God, therefore, Christ is saying by with the statement, only God is good, only God is good. He's saying you need to come and follow me because you'll see as you live with me and as you listen to my words and as you examine my life, I do fulfill that very thing, that I am the Lord. I am the one who has come to save sinners. And that this young man needed to realize that no, he didn't keep the law of God from his youth. Jesus Christ kept the law of God from his youth. Jesus Christ kept the law of God from his youth because he's God. He's the only way, he's the only truth, and he's the only life. And therefore, it's imperative for a sinner to come like a little child to the Lord and realize that as a dependent, needy child. Say, Lord, I've broken the law. I have broken the law again and again and again, but Lord, you haven't. You have kept the law perfectly, and you always keep the law perfectly. And Christ loved this young man, wanted him to come with him to see this, for Christ to prove it to him. You follow me and you'll see that I am good and I am God. And it's so. And this is what the young man was walking away from. He was walking away from his opportunity to learn who God really is. He was walking away from Christ, who is the manifestation of the Lord, who is the very embodiment of God, who took flesh upon himself to become a man and to show forth his deity in his person. This is what this young man was walking away from. See, Christ was more than just a good teacher. And this is all that this young, rich young ruler really had in mind. He recognized and acknowledged that Christ was a good teacher. He said, good master. He's the God-man. He's the one who we need to learn from. He is the one that we need to follow. He's the one that we need to observe. In order for us to live a good life, we must emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many people today are trying to live good lives apart from Christ? How many people are walking away from the Lord and they're trying to live a good life on their own terms? They're trying to work out their way to God in their own way. And they're walking away from God himself. And this is what this young man was doing. He was walking away from God. If you don't come through Christ, if you don't come through Jesus Christ as the way to God, then you're walking away from God. And you don't understand who God is. You don't understand his power. You don't understand his truth. You don't understand what he can do for you. And this is what this man was walking away from. Maybe you're here today and you're walking away from Christ. If you walk away from Christ, you're walking away from God. You can't understand God without Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God. He's the one who has fulfilled the law of God. He's the one that lived the perfect life. He's the one that made the atonement for sinners on the cross. And if you walk away from Christ, you walk away from God. The second person of the mystic Trinity of God. He is the answer the young man was searching for. He was everything that he wanted. He was everything that he needed. He was everything that he was hoping for. And yet, he walks away from the Lord. And by walking away from Christ, he walked away from understanding who God really is. The young man didn't see Christ as any more than just a good teacher. He could not see that he was a savior from sin. He lacked a conviction over his own sin. He lacked the truth about his condition before God. And that's why he needed to come to the Lord like a little child. Needy. Dependent. That's the whole purpose here. Christ is contrasting the little child to this rich young ruler. Here is a rich young ruler who was confident in himself. In his self-righteousness. Thinking that he was okay. Not only that, but he was perfect. Because that's, in essence, that's what he says to the Lord. When he says to the Lord, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." He couldn't see what Paul saw in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Do you see your sin today? Are you conscious of your sin before God, Holy God? Do you realize that I fall so short of the Lord's law? I fall so short of God's commandments. I've broken them. And even though I've been raised in the church, even though I've been raised with the privileges of God's law being read in my home and reading the scripture in my home, I still have to come to the Lord as a dependent and a needy child and say, "You know, Lord, I need you. I need you. You're God. You're God." This young man didn't see it, and he walked away from this, and how sad it must have been. What a scene. Tragic, isn't it? To see a young man walk away from the true and living God. Maybe you're here today and you're walking away from Christ. That means you're walking away from God. There's no other God, true God, than Jesus Christ. And he was walking away from the truth of who the Lord was. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And this is who he is walking away from. He's walking away from the true mediator. He's walking away from Jehovah God. Not only was this young man walking away from God, he was walking away from true righteousness. A righteousness that he did not possess in himself. A righteousness which he needed to enter into heaven. A righteousness that is found only in Jesus Christ. And that's the second thing that he walked away from. He walked away from righteousness. We learn here the purpose of the law. Christ tells us and teaches us the purpose of the law. It's to show that all men are sinners. It's to reveal that when we read the law of God in and of ourselves, we're condemned because we've all broken the law of God. And that's why Christ takes the man to the law of God, to show him that these commandments are commandments that are to be kept continually, not just in the letter, but in the spirit. See, the law of God points to God's beauty. It points to God's holiness and goodness and justice. But for sinners, the law condemns. The law tells us that we are under the wrath of God, that we must receive the punishment for our sin because we've broken the law of God. Therefore, we come before the Lord as condemned people, as those who deserve nothing but His wrath and divine justice. Isn't that what Romans chapter 5 teaches in verse 18? "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." The offense of one. What was the offense? Adam, he broke God's law. And therefore that offense was passed on to his posterity, the rest of the human race. And that condemns us. So the young man thought he had kept the law good enough to inherit eternal life. He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." It's almost as if this young man is coming to Christ, and he is concerned. I believe he's concerned, but he almost is wanting the Lord to answer in a certain way, and he almost wants the Lord to agree with him. "Oh yes, you know, you have kept the law. You have kept the law since your youth. You have done so much good. That's your ticket to eternal life." But the Lord doesn't say that. The Lord says something that is far more profound and something that shakes this young man to his very core. And that is, you must sell all, follow me, take up your cross and follow me. What an answer. It wasn't an answer that he expected. But in order for him to obtain righteousness that enables him to inherit eternal life, he had to get a righteousness that was outside himself. A righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ affirms to him, follow me. Follow me. Put your confidence in me. I have the righteousness that you need. I have the righteousness that you seek. You're soon discovered by following me that I am righteous. You are wicked. You are sinful. And you will soon discover that if you follow me and as you walk with me and as you hear me teach and as you spend time with me, you'll realize that you're like a little child. You must come before me as a little child, needy, broken, dependent upon the Lord for righteousness. Are you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ this morning? Or are you walking away from Christ? See, if you walk away from Christ, you'll walk away from righteousness. You'll walk away from eternal life. Because you need righteousness to enter heaven. You need perfect righteousness to enter heaven. You know, there's so many people today that live in our world that think that they're going to heaven because of their good works or because, you know, they're not too bad in the eyes of man. And in the eyes of man, they're not too bad. They're good people. They've done a lot of good things for society. They've done a lot of good things for their neighbors. But in the eyes of God, you just don't need a righteousness. You need a perfect righteousness to inherit the kingdom of God. And that was the answer, that was the question that the young man asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer is, you need to be robed in the righteousness of Christ. You need to follow Him. You need to put your faith in Him and Him alone. Because without it, you cannot enter into the heaven, the Lord's presence. And that's why we, as believers, we have a burden for those who are lost, those who are still under the condemnation, those who are still walking away from the Lord, if you will, because they don't have that righteousness. They can't answer. The only way that they can answer that question, how must I enter into eternal life? They have to be honest. I have to enter eternal life by my good works. That's my confidence. That's what I hope the Lord will receive me when I die and go to see Him, based upon my good works. And we know that just isn't good enough. We need a perfect righteousness. And Jesus Christ, by living that perfect life and by dying that death on the cross, has procured for us true righteousness that we can have before God in entering heaven. See, God's law was the standard by which this young man was using to gain acceptance before God. He had no idea that he had broken God's law before he was even born in Adam. See, sin doesn't start with us being with us being conscious of our sin. Sin starts when we're born into this world, because we're born with sin. We're born with unrighteousness. We're born with that nature to do that which is contrary to the law of God. Therefore, we need to be changed. We need a righteousness that is not of our own. We need a righteousness that must be given to us by Jesus Christ. I know this man needed that righteousness, and he walked away from it. He walked away from it. Walking away from Christ meant walking away from righteousness. But he also walked away from spiritual riches. See, here was a man who had it all. He had all of the things that money could buy. He had fine clothes. He was doing all right, respectable in society. Equals acceptance with God in the eyes of the young man. He had it all. But yet he was full of hypocrisy, wasn't he? He was a hypocrite. He was a liar. He was self-deceived. He was ignorant and lost. And you could say that, yes, in one sense he was rich, but in another sense he was very, very poor, spiritually speaking. And in order for him to obtain true spiritual riches, he needed Christ. He needed to follow the Lord. John in Revelation chapter 3 tells the church in Laodicea the same thing. Listen to how he talks to the church in Revelation chapter 3 verses 17 and 18. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Here we see in Revelation chapter 3, the church. Those who are supposed to be the bride of Christ. Those who are professing to be purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Christ is condemning them for seeing them as being rich and increased with goods and having need of nothing. And the Lord has to remind them that you are not rich. You are not wealthy. You are not in need of nothing as you think you are. You are actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And they forgot that. They became complacent. They became content. They became fat. They became full of themselves. And because of that, they were very poor, spiritually speaking. And here was a man coming to Christ, this rich young ruler, and he was full of himself, full of hypocrisy, full of lies and deception, and he had no spiritual riches whatsoever. You know, there are many people in the world that are physically rich, that have temporal blessings, but they have no spiritual blessings. They have no spiritual riches. They have no inheritance. They have no wealth from Christ. And in order for this man to get the spiritual wealth, he needed to follow the Lord. And he walked away from the source of spiritual blessing, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. He wanted to remain physically and temporally rich, but be spiritually poor in the eyes of God. How many people today make that wretched choice to choose the pleasures and the riches of this world and not follow after the Lord Jesus Christ? This man made this wretched choice to stay spiritually poor and impoverished. If he would have followed the Lord and sold all and given up this world, then he would have become spiritually rich. Maybe you're here today and you have some riches of the world, but you have no spiritual riches. Your soul is not rich. You're not wealthy, spiritually speaking, because you're not following after Christ. Well, this is what this man walked away from. He walked away from spiritual riches. Oh, I urge you today to follow the Lord. For when you follow the Lord, you may not have the physical blessings. You may not have the temporal blessings like others. But you have a riches and wealth that the world knows nothing about. Follow the Lord. Put your trust in Him. This man also walked away from the love of Christ. The text says that Christ loved this man. He loved this man. Profound statement that we read here. When we read how Paul, the Apostle Paul, tries to describe the love of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3. Listen to how Paul tries to describe the love of Christ to sinners. He says that Christ, Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is the love that he was walking away from. He was walking away from the love that Paul describes as the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You could say, what? How could he walk away from this kind of love? How could he walk away from such a desire for Him? And yet, how many people today do that very thing when they come into the Lord's house, they hear the Word of God preached, and they hear the love of Christ for their souls and how He was willing to die for their sins on the cross, and yet many walk away unmoved, untouched. They walk away from the greatest kind of love that you can experience in your heart, and that is the love from Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes this kind of love is demonstrated in the children of the Lord. I remember a story of a man who gave testimony of how God saved him. Obviously, I didn't hear it in person because this man had gone to be with the Lord. But here was a man who gave testimony in a book of how the Lord saved him in the icy waters when the Titanic sunk. And he was rescued. And the amazing thing was, when he fell into the icy water, it didn't take long for the people to die because of the coldness of the water. So it was just a miracle that this man survived as long as he did. But he writes this testimony here. He says, "Hundreds were jumping off the doomed ocean liner, only minutes to live. There was an evangelist among them. He was preaching Christ in the frigid water. The evangelist later succumbed and drowned. But this man heard the loving words of the preacher and cried out to the Lord." He cried out to the Lord and got saved. And he was rescued in a boat. And he went back to write this incredible testimony and to go on with the Lord. But here was a man at the very ready to cross over the Jordan. It didn't look good for him. And he heard this evangelist preaching Christ. And he heard the love of Christ as this evangelist drowned. And it's the love of Christ moved him in such a way that he called out to God for help and mercy. And it wasn't just a physical deliverance. I think it was more than that. It was a spiritual deliverance. He said, "God, help me, save me." And he heard the love of Christ from this evangelist who died. He didn't walk away from the Lord. He didn't walk away from the love of Christ. That love that he saw was that love at the cross. The love for his sins. The love. And the preacher who was dying, think of the love that he had for sinners. He was preaching to his very last breath the love of Jesus Christ. And he didn't even know that this man was saved. He passed on to eternity. But yet, he'll see this brother in eternity, in heaven. And you think I'll have a special thank you for the brother who preached in the icy waters, who succumbed to the icy waters? I'll say to him, "You know, brother, you preached the love of Christ and Christ saved me." What a way to die. What a way to enter into heaven. You preach Christ and you die and a sinner gets saved. The love of Christ. And this young man, this rich young ruler, was walking away from it. Walking away from the epitome of love, the model of love in Jesus Christ. How can you experience more love than you can in Christ? You know, people make the wretched choice all the time. Young people make the wretched choice to love the world, to love their sin more than Christ. And this is what this man did. Matthew 16, verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here was the rich young ruler. He gained, in his estimation, everything that he could in this world, and he didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to exchange it for a soul. And where is he now? Think about where the rich young ruler is now. What are the worldly riches doing for him now? What are his fancy clothes doing for him now? What are the jewelry and all the money doing for him now? He's in hell. And he walked away from that love that Jesus showed to him. Think what following Christ might have cost the young man. Well, it might have cost him his inheritance, his physical inheritance. It might have cost him his family. It might have cost him his status, his life. Now think what not following Christ cost the young man: eternal life. And now he is in hell thinking about the wretched choice he made to not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to make that same wretched choice? Are you going to turn your back on the love of Christ? And finally, the young man walked away from eternal life. He walked away. He had the question and he had the answer to his question, but he didn't want to follow. He didn't want to hear what Christ said. He didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't want the antidote. He didn't want the solution. He didn't want the answer to his question. He didn't like it. He didn't like what he heard. He didn't like what he heard from Christ. Therefore, he walked away from him. See, if Christ would have just said to the young man, well, just believe on me. That's all you need to do is just believe on me. Then he would have went away thinking all was well with his soul. Just believe on me and that's all you need to do. What does that mean? Well, for the young rich ruler, Christ specifically tells him what it means to believe on him. For the rich young ruler, it meant he needed to sell everything he had, take up his cross, and follow me. That was believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for the rich young ruler. It wasn't this nebulous concept of believe on me. What does that mean? But today we have people that are told by thousands of preachers across Canada and the United States, believe on Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? They say, well, I believe on Jesus Christ. I'll believe on Jesus Christ for eternal life without repenting of their sin, without feeling the weight and guilt of their sin, without turning to Christ to take away their sin, without accepting that imputed righteousness that Christ gives to sinners. Today, people just say, I believe on the Lord, and there's no change. There's no difference. There's no demand from them. You just live your life the way you did before. All you need to do is just believe on Jesus. And now, in a sense, I don't want to confuse the simple gospel message that the Scripture does say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's as simple as that. But it's not easy. It's a simple message, but it's not an easy message. And that's what Christ is illustrating to us here. That if you want to follow me, it's a simple thing. It was very simple. A child can understand what Christ was saying. You sell everything you have, take up your cross and follow me. The rich young ruler didn't say, I'm sorry, Lord, what does that mean? I don't understand what you're teaching. Well, he understood very well what it meant. It wasn't easy to follow the Lord. You know, we have the easy believism today that plagues the church, where people just, it's simple, but then preachers make it easy for sinners too. It's so easy that you don't even have to confess your sins. You don't even have to repent. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to talk about sin. It's so easy. All you do is you raise your hand or you check a box on a piece of paper and say, I believe in Jesus, and you're in heaven. That's all you need to do. Is that what Jesus said to the young rich young ruler? He didn't say that, did he? He said a very simple, follow me, sell all, follow me, take up your cross. It wasn't easy. It's not easy to follow Christ. But we can follow Christ, not in our strength, but in the power of the Spirit of God. God gives us the Spirit to follow Him. God gives us the Spirit to have that desire for Christ. And we see here that this young man, when he walked away from the Lord, he walked away from eternal life. Doesn't Christ say the same thing in John chapter 6 to his disciples? Listen to the words of Christ in John 6, verses 67 and 69. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Peter says to the Lord, Lord, we're not going to walk away from you because you have the words of eternal life. This rich young man does the complete opposite. He walks away from the Lord. And he's walking away from eternal life. Peter knew that if he walked away from Jesus Christ, he was walking away from eternal life. And if you're here today, and if you're walking away from Jesus Christ, if you're not following after Christ, you're walking away from your only hope of eternal life. Your only security for heaven. Your only assurance to be with the Lord is Christ. And this is what this man was walking away from. tragic story of a man who in the beginning had so much promise, didn't he? So much initiative, such a good question to be asked. And yet we see at the end what a terrible, sad, tragic consequence of sin and how powerful sin has in the heart of a man. He walked away from God. He walked away from eternal life. He walked away from righteousness. He walked away from true happiness. It was simple. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for him. And Christ wanted to make it clear to him. But Christ was the answer to his question. And he walked away from that. So he answered his own question, didn't he? The rich young ruler, didn't he? He answered his own question. Because he wasn't going to heaven. He wasn't one who was going to inherit eternal life. He made that decision. He made that decision when he walked away from Christ. And how many people today are doing that very thing? They make the wretched choice to follow their sin and follow the world all the way down to the depths of hell to walk away from Christ. And yet the answer is right before us. What must they do to inherit eternal life? Follow Christ. Come to Christ. Trust in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer the way Peter did. Lord, where else will I go? You have the words of everlasting life. It would be pointless. It wouldn't do us any good to walk away from thee, for you are the source of eternal life. God help us to seek the Lord and to follow Him and to not walk away from our Savior. In closing, we must be willing to sell all and follow Christ. We must be humble and trusting like little children. We must take up our cross daily and follow after the Lord. Such people make up the kingdom of heaven. Have you walked away from the Lord? Maybe a young person, you're here and you've walked away from the Lord. You've been raised in a Christian home and you know the Lord, you know about the Lord, but you know you're not walking with the Lord. You're walking away from Him. The Lord says in His grace and mercy, repent of your sins and return to Me. I will come and restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Come to Me. Come back to Me. I love you. Just like He loved the young rich ruler. Are you on your way to heaven? Do you have that hope? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that confidence that if I were to die today, I'm going to be in heaven with my Savior? This young rich young ruler didn't. And he walked away damning himself. Walked away from his only hope, his only trust, his only answer to that question, Jesus Christ. Let us pray.